well, hopefully.
So welcome. This is the topic, unlearning senseless hatred. And those that must have listened on the previous episode, I'm sure they have an inkling towards what this is all about. And unlearning senseless hatred. And we're doing it with regards to gender and sexuality. And yes, I didn't think of any better person to bring on the show than you.
Wow.
Because we've been friends for over how many years now, and you've been expressly feminine despite despite your perceived gender. Okay, you've been expressly feminine, and you've been outspoken, one of the most outspoken person I have seen about your identity over time. So yes, you're like the best person for this show right now. So yeah, let's hear a bit of your experiences, how you've expressed, how you grew into being yourself. Okay, how you grew into identifying, how you grew into accepting yourself fully, and the challenges it has engendered for you.
Okay.
And of course, the reactions, the challenges, which include the reactions people have given you and how you responded to them. So you have the floor.
Okay, thank you once again.
Welcome.
I am excited. Yes. So about this, I think it's a beautiful topic. I think it's an interesting one too, and it's something people out there ought to listen and learn from it, this particular episode. So about gender and sexuality, and the reactions people give towards people who don't conform to their own perception of gender and sexuality. Are you getting me?
I'm listening, of course.
Yeah, okay. So yes, I am an effeminate young man, and it's not something I picked up, it's not something I learned, it's something I grew up with. Yes. And I can't say explicitly when I started being an effeminate boy. You know, I think I was born in it, and this is me. So it's something I am used to that I cannot change, not for anyone. Yes, and I am happy being this way. I consider myself lucky. I am happy being this way, and I do not care what every other person is saying about my gender. I am happy being this way.
Got you short a bit. I am very sorry, but then something you just said that just caught my interest, and I was wondering, okay, have you always been this bold? Have you always been this confident about defending your identity? Or is it from somewhere? Was there a trigger?
Okay, my whole life has been this interesting journey. When I was little, I used to be taunted because I acted like a girl, and
down to the reactions.
So at some point I regretted being this way. I hated myself, or I stopped loving myself. But of recent, I think when I was an undergraduate, or before I became an undergraduate, when I was still in secondary school, I learned to accept myself the way I am. And because it's my life, and I am not hurting anyway with my own behavior, I became at peace with myself. So I didn't see any need to change. I was now confident in myself.
Was it from reading stuff or having personal encounters with people of your similar disposition, people you met that are similar to you? And I want to hear what the trigger is, because I know how important it is for certain people, because we are here to change stereotypes, isn't it? So many people believe that a couple of feminine men just grew up one day and decided to be confident. Do you understand? Was it that organic? Was it that spontaneous, or there was an occasion that led to it?
Okay, I wouldn't say there was this particular occasion, because there have been occasions in the past, like the occasion in the past where I was met with discrimination and other prejudices that I don't want to start talking about right now. But yeah, so me being confident in myself, it started out as a process. I became friends with people who would accept me the way I am. There is my family that never considered anything bad in the way I behaved. And yes, I read stuff, I watched movies, I began to see myself as one special kid. And to be very honest with you, I had a beautiful childhood.
Yeah, very.
It made me accept myself the more.
Oh, thank you very much for that one, Ernest. Down to the next question. I didn't skip this question, that by you, societal demands upon you, because physically you are manly. So, of course, there are those societal demands. Okay, demands that have to do with, okay, how men should behave. You should be stiff, you should be stern, you should be rigid. All of those kind of manly, you understand what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
And how you've been able to navigate through it, despite the fact that that is not what you conform to naturally. In the way you do chores, in the way you move around, have you had to correct perceptions about those expectations on you?
Okay,
let's hear the very, very interesting stories. We're here for those stories. Then let's give us those stories.
Okay. Well, for one, I so much believe in myself, and I like to do things lightly. When I'm walking on the road, I am walking on the road, and I am conscious of only myself and then my surrounding, and I just want to walk past that those people on the way, or walk on the street and then mind my business and go my go and do whatever I want to do. Do you get me?
My brother, yeah.
So it's only when I am busy being myself that I start getting this in this disturbance from those around me, telling me society, because I am a guy, society means wants me to act this way and that way. But it is none of your business. You do your society, mind your own business, and let me mind the way I want to dress. Let me dress that way, the way I want to, the chores I want. Yeah, the weather here in Plateau State, the weather is very, very cold, extremely cold. And so people began to make these comments that are insensitive, that are so, how do I put it? So ignorant comments, like comments that would show how ignorant they are. Comments like, boys shouldn't beat hot water because they are boys. In the cold, they shouldn't beat hot water because they are boys. Comments like, boys shouldn't sweep because they are boys. The ladies should do the sweeping. And when I hear comments like that, it infuriates me. It makes me angry. Like, you guys don't even know what you're saying. You guys don't even know what you're implying with these comments. Boys shouldn't cook. Boys shouldn't do this. And because I have
boys, you want from ladies mostly.
Yes, most of those comments are coming from ladies mostly. And because I am a boy, you want me to do what you're saying, those things you're saying. I am living my life. Go and meet those boys you want to meet. But I am living my life. Don't even bring that thing close to me.
And it's sort of confusing when some ladies rebuke guys that tend to show these traits of I don't want to call it feminine, because it's not written down anywhere that it is a woman that is supposed to clean or bathe hot water, like you said. But then the ladies tend to demand these things of certain men. Okay, I was having a conversation in camp as well with a lady, and she was like, she had to break up with her previous relationship because the guy was too soft. Like, when he offends her, he tends to go on his knees and almost shed tears. Like, he was too soft. He was too apologetic for her.
Wow.
And then she then complained about, we're having a conversation, and I asked her, what is your spec of how a man should be? She was like, hey, if you be a man, like, be a man. And I'm like, okay, what do you mean, really? He offends you, he shouldn't apologize, he should beat you on top of it. Then she doesn't want that, she wants something in between. I'm like, Jesus Christ. It's so confusing when society tells them this is how things should be. They let it get into their psyche, and they don't even know what they want out of men. You understand?
Wow.
And when you told me that story, I was expecting that it was a guy that rebuked you for sweeping, but then it was even a lady, and this lady is likely to get into a marriage tomorrow, and be expecting that the husband helps out with some chores. That's how that can be. They're expecting that, oh, this man doesn't help me. I do the cleaning, I do the washing, I do the cooking all by myself. And then you see a guy that is growing up into loving to do these things, and you want to show, you want to preach society demands on him. It was very disappointing.
That was
very disappointing, that's your story. So any other stories?
Very short, but there was this day I was short, and the reaction that I got from people because I wore shorts, and I was wondering, is it because I wore the shorts or because I am effeminate? I'm an effeminate guy wearing shorts. It was maddening. Like, I didn't get it at first. You guys should be allowed to wear whatever they want to wear. Okay, guys wearing shorts shouldn't be ridiculed.
Mm-hmm. It's a matter of comfort. Yes. It's a matter of what you feel comfortable in.
Yes. Probably the weather was too hot for me that day. That was the reason why I wore the shorts.
Simple.
Yes. And I don't know why, of all the happenings in Nigeria, of everything going on in the world, nothing else is bothering you. Not even the economy, not even your CGPA, nothing at all. Not even the fact that you might not eat, have your dinner. Mm-hmm. Nothing is bothering you. Mm-hmm. Just my shorts.
And this brings me back to the LGBTQ prohibition law we have in Nigeria. I told the earlier that we are going to chip it in, isn't it? The idea of sexuality. It's a taboo topic here in Nigeria. It's something that you don't say expressly. But then I consider this space a personal one where I can say what I want, and I am sure many people can relate to whatever I share here. So this is it now. We all know we were during Good Lord Jonathan's regime that law was enshrined. Are you hearing me? And then now this law came, and now it's not as though his regime was the most perfect so far, has been the most perfect so far. In fact, as a matter of fact, we were going through economic challenges at the time this law was enshrined. But it was so funny how this law, he just signed the bill into law, and many people were so excited that they seemed to forget that there were things that were not right, and we were getting loads of accolades. Now, of course, among a few presidents, among the question of our president, he was remarkable for certain things. But then things were not just perfect, considering how far we have come. And he comes in, and so we all seem to have this organic response, this organic hate response towards people of a different sexuality. And it is rather sad.
Yeah.
It is rather sad that what someone does in his room, in his private space, tend to have preeminence over other things.
Yeah.
And I stopped to wonder, where could this have started from? Where could it have started? Is it from our cultural sensibility that we just don't want to
look at? No, for me, I think it's just the hypocrisy, the hypocritical nature of Nigerians, in the sense that Nigerians are capable of committing atrocities. They are capable of kidnapping, capable of murdering people, capable of child trafficking, capable of child marriage, and you know them, all those things that God, like, I don't know. Okay, but I know you get the picture I'm trying to paint. Yes, but the only divine joy when it comes to LGBT matter, the only divine joy
condemnation, like, specifically,
yes, in persecuting queer people.
Yeah,
I think if you should bring a queer person and even their most corrupt leader, they will pardon their corrupt leader and then lynch the queer person.
Yeah,
this person that is queer didn't do anything wrong to you. He only chose to love differently.
Let's be sure we were not preaching that stereotype of choosing to. Do you understand?
Okay.
Let's be sure we don't contribute to that stereotype that someone just decided.
Yeah.
But of course, it is an orientation.
John to back things up. And when you even check it, these people are not even upright with their religion. Yet, they fornicate, they turn this thing, laws that God gave Moses. They do half of, more than half of it, they go against more than half of it.
Indeed, this thing of selective obedience, they select what they want to keep.
Thank you. I would like to call it selective blindness. They are blind to their own sins, just like those people who wanted to stone the woman who committed adultery.
I mentioned that in my previous episode, yeah.
Good.
Very important.
So it's selective blindness. You don't want to see your own fault, but you want to see another person's fault. And there is no fault here. This person is loving differently from you. It's still the same care and love that you, the person would give to the person you expected him or you expect him to. But he's giving it to another gender. So what's your, why are you hating? Why are you hating so, I don't know, so maliciously? It's not right. They should let queer people be. Queer people
and
should
exactly
be allowed
deeper
to live
exactly
their life because
deeper.
It's their life.
It goes deeper than we think, but I've had loads of conversation, and many people want to liken you to something when you tend to speak up for something. You want to speak up for queer rights, and many people want to just brand you and label you. Do you understand? And again, I think this is the point. This is the part where we distinguish the difference between a gender identity and sexuality. I didn't mention it in my previous episode. The fact that someone can move and conform to a particular kind of gender, like you said, you dress androgynously. That's
Because
a gender identity. But sexuality is different. Sexuality is orientation, is loving who you cannot help but love, irrespective of the sex of the person. But many people confuse people who are effeminate to be queer as well. You understand?
Yeah.
They confuse them. And so when you come out as in an effeminate person, a feminine man, for example, or a masculine woman, a woman who does things a masculine way, and you want to defend sexuality rights, you want to defend queer rights, they will label you as a lesbian or label you as gay. That is a misconception I set out to correct on this episode. That these are two distinct things. Your gender is an identity you conform to, and it is expressed in the way you move, in the way you talk, in the way you dress. Sexuality is an orientation. It's who you love. It's who you are attracted to.
And the kind of sexual activity you engage in.
Thank you. The kind of sexual identity, activity rather, you would rather engage in. As your
the reason for this podcast, it's on learning and relearning.
So
I would say this: it's important that people learn to drop unhealthy opinions on things
and accept healthy ones.
Yes, and they should stop it. Okay, the Christian faith doesn't preach violence.
Neither does Islam.
Yes, they don't preach violence, that you should kill people, you should do this, you should do that. No, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, as you love yourself.
This is even very simple. Like, okay, if you consider someone as being sinful, is it in your place to now kill the person? Thank you.
It's in the Bible, do not judge, so you won't be judged. So you won't be judged.
So let's all die and go there and see who God gets to pick into his kingdom, isn't it?
Like I said, it's selective blindness. They will open the scripture and they will choose what they want to choose and leave the other one because it's not favoring them. So it's Nigerians and their selective blindness. Anyway, what I was going to say was it's important that people unlearn some unhealthy opinions. Yes. And when it comes to stereotypes, gender stereotypes, they should do well to identify those ones and drop them. Like, ladies should be the only ones cooking is not meant for guys. Something like that makes me angry because I believe cooking is one of the survivor skills.
And everyone,
as a guy, you should learn how to cook. Same thing with being neat, arranging your environment, your room, and so on. They never give birth to anybody with any manual. You can't behave like someone still in the 80s or 90s.
You have to move.
You have to help yourself grow, and by growing, helping yourself to grow, you have to drop some things that are not.
The beauty of the world is in our variety, our diversity.
So you don't expect everyone. So do you know how boring it would be if everyone
was one particular thing?
Thank you. Acting the same way.
Loving the same way.
So people should let people be. Let them do what they want. So far, it's not hurting the next person. Good. And they should live, like, there is this live and let live. Right? Yeah. Live your life. It's your life. It's not my life. So far, you're not harming the next person. Live your life. And that's what people should do. And they should keep an open mind that the people they meet on the road, they will not likely act the same way
they expected.
Yes.
Tennis, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I hope we have done our bit. We've exhausted ourselves when it comes to giving this sort of re-education. I call it re-education. Yes. I hope we've done our bit. And yeah, that will be all. That will be all. It was such a pleasant time with you, Ernest. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak again. I do appreciate it.
Have a pleasant night, rest, and a smooth ride into the new year, by the way.
Thank you. I wish you the best. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.